are beginning today a series of messages that I think may be some of the more critical or more crucial that we have done in a while. The series we are beginning is entitled Authentic Relationships. It is crucial, not just to life in general, but particularly crucial to Christian life. If we are going to walk in the fullness of all that God has for us, if we're going to walk in abundant life, we're going to have to begin to understand and value authentic relationships again. And the reason I think it's so crucial for us is our culture. Our culture has run roughshod over relationships. How many of you, by shaking your head, understand what I'm saying? Our culture, the busyness of our culture, the nature of lack of commitment, the exaltation of the individual, our culture has run roughshod over relationships. And yet there are great truths that are available. There's great strength and great joy, and I believe abundant life that is available when we understand and begin to enter in and walk in authentic relationships. And so I'm beginning this morning a series about authentic relationships. We're going to be talking about our relationship with God. We're going to be talking about family relationships, both marriage and other relationships within the family. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about church relationships, those authentic relationships within a church and what they are and what they mean. And then we're going to be talking about our relationship with the world and others outside of those other topics. And so it's going to be, I think, an important time, and I think it will be an enriching time for you and I. And I think as we begin to walk in authentic relationships, I believe we'll begin to walk in the Spirit and walk in the fullness of what God has for us. So that being said, let's begin with you. Join me with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, I come to, and I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you are the teacher. Jesus said in John 16, you are the teacher. And so I ask you to come this morning. We need you to pull back the veil of our humanity. We need you to pull back the veil of our prejudged ideas about what relationships are supposed to be. And we need you to speak to us. It is not enough to have a sermon this morning. We need a word from you. We need to hear what you are saying into our lives and speaking into our lives. And Lord, I pray that this morning you will overcome any barrier on the part of the speaker or the hearer to communication, that you will speak into our hearts that which the Lord would have us hear today. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was a strange scene indeed on the banks of the Jordan River. If you were a stranger walking up at this occasion, it would have seemed just really odd to you. First of all, the Jordan River is not a swimming hole. The Jordan River is pretty much a pretty dirty river. It's a pretty nasty river. And so the crowd that was gathered there would have, well, it would have been curious, because why would a crowd be on the banks of the Jordan River like that? And there were numerous that were there. And then to make it even more strange, as you got down to the Jordan River, you see there's this odd-looking guy. I mean, really strange-looking guy. From what you can tell, his hair is kind of unkempt. He's got a full beard, and when I say a full beard, I mean a full beard. He is rough and rugged. He's dressed in the roughest clothes, and you lean to somebody and say, "Who is that?" And they say, "Well, he's known as John the Baptist." And so what is he doing? Well, he's baptizing people. John the Baptist is baptizing people. And you look and there's just people everywhere. And John is just, man, he's preaching a message, a powerful, incredible message. And so the crowd just begins to dwindle. It begins to get smaller and smaller. The ones who are about to be baptized, and one after one, they go into the water. And you're just kind of watching and observing. And then it seems after the last person goes, from the side walks one who is like none other. John says, he looks and he realizes. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And you realize that you have just stepped right into the middle of something that is totally different, completely different than anything you've seen before. In fact, Luke records that Jesus waited in the background until all the others had been baptized. And after all the others had been baptized, he steps to John, and you know the story, many of you as good as I do. He steps up to John, who, by the way, is his cousin. He steps up to him and he says to him, I want you to baptize me. And John at first does what I think anyone would have done who knew who this was and says to him, you want me to baptize you? Lord, no, Lord, I have need that you would baptize me. And Jesus says to him, John, remember what the prophet said. It is necessary, it is righteous that you do this thing. And so John, after much deliberation, he acquiesces and he baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. And in that moment, something happens that is unbelievable. You remember, it's recorded in Luke, the third chapter, the 22nd verse is coming up on the screen there. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In that moment, it is interesting. In this one text, in this one story, we have the clearest expression of one of the most difficult things to understand about the Bible. I have a number of systematic theologies in my library. A systematic theology is a very learned or educated biblical scholar who takes the Bible and walks through it and lays out all the theologies, the different beliefs, and how they connect to each other. And in every one of them, in every single one of them, from whatever venue they come, every one, a single one of them identifies the idea of the Trinity as the most difficult idea to grasp and to put your hands around it. How does Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate one to another? And yet, although it's difficult to put our hands around, in this story we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, what we see is we see them in perfect relationship with each other. See, here's the thing I want you to see this morning, and there's no way, by the way, I'm not preaching on the Trinity this morning. There's no way. The Trinity speaks to us so many things, there's no way in one sermon to cover it all, and I'm not even about to. I do want to make one point this morning, because it's going to launch us into where I want us to go for this morning and the next few weeks. One thing that you do see is you look in this scene, and when you ponder the idea of the Trinity, and when I say that word, we may have some that aren't here this morning. The idea of the Trinity is that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three persons, one God. That's the idea. And for all that it means, what it says this in the context of what we're talking about this morning, it says this, that God exists in relationship. Think about it now. When God presents himself, when God shows himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one thing, Miss Hattie, it speaks a lot of things to us, but one thing it says is that God's existence, when God exists, he exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship, one with another. There is a perfect communication. There's perfect harmony. There's perfect submission. There's perfect covenant. There's perfect respect. There's perfect communication. God exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship. Now, you might be saying, now, Pastor, all right, I'm there, but what does that have to do with you and I? And that's where I want us to go with this morning. Go with me to the book of Genesis. I want us to go back to the beginning. In the book of Genesis, I'm just going to walk you through some simple verses this morning to show you some things that I think the Lord is speaking to us about relationship in general, and in particular about our relationship with him. Go with me to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. Now remember, let me state it again. We understand from the doctrine of the Trinity and from the scene that we saw on the Jordan River that God exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how he exists. Now watch what happens. When God comes, you know the Genesis story. You know God creates all of the days and he gets down to the sixth day and he creates man. And notice what it says in particular in verse 26. Now watch what it says here. Chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, there are two things there that I want to point out to you real quickly this morning. One thing is that there again, you see the idea of God existing in relationship. Notice what it says. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. The idea that is conveyed there, again, is that God exists in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, the name in Hebrew, the name for God that is used there is the name Elohim. And it is the plural name for God. It is speaking to God existing in relationship. Now watch what he says here. Now watch what he says. He says, let us make God in our own image. Do you understand what the implications of that is? That God, watch this, God exists in relationship. Now, if you miss this, the rest of the series will make no sense at all. God exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because he made us in his image, you and I are designed to exist in authentic relationships. First with him and with one another. Listen to me this morning. Our culture has done us an injustice. Or we in our culture have done an injustice in the fact that we have lessened, demeaned relationships. What our culture teaches us is stand up for yourself. Speak up for yourself. Stand for your rights. One man, one vote, one right. And I understand the patriotic part of that. But what it says to us is I don't need anybody. Right? It says I'm my own person. And I don't need anybody, and I don't depend on anybody, and I don't have to need anybody. In fact, I hear people even say that. They say, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient. Yet, what they are denying, watch this, is the very image of God in them. Beverly, you have the image of God in you. And because you are created in the image of God, part of that image is that you are created to exist in authentic relationships, first with God and then with other people. You understand this morning that by denying that, we have, I think, lived less than what God has created us to live. Our American or Western idea of what it means to exist and to be a self person, I, me, my, mine, denies the very image of God in us. We are designed, you and I are designed to exist in authentic relationships, first with God and then with one another. And I love what God does here. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Just track with me. I promise I'm going to end up somewhere here in just a moment. Watch what God does here. God doesn't just, when he's talking about relationships, when you take the whole counsel of the Bible, God doesn't just give us an example in the Trinity and on the Jordan River. He doesn't just give us an example of authentic relationship. And he doesn't just create us, Michael, in his image to exist in authentic relationship, but he does one better. And here's my whole sermon this morning. He enters into authentic relationship with us. Wow. See, what God says is this is so important. This is so crucial. This matters so much. This is so necessary to the being, the person, the human, the man, the woman that I have created you to be. That I'm not only going to give you an example of authentic relationship, I'm not only going to put my image in you which calls for authentic relationships, but I'll do one better and I will enter into authentic relationship with you. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like? What is the parameters of that? What does authentic relationship look like? See, by virtue of the truth that we are created in God's image, we are designed for authentic relationship, and then God enters into authentic relationship with us. And to illustrate that, I want to read for you one of the oddest sounding sentences in the entire book of Genesis. It's in chapter 3, verse 8. It's going to come up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Now watch what it says here in Genesis 3, verse 8. Now, remember now, this is the story of the fall of man. Man, Adam and Eve being created, God has told him that what he can eat of, what he cannot eat of, he set the parameters for the relationship. And in the context of that, you remember the serpent comes and just to catch us up here, the serpent comes and tempts Eve, and she takes the fruit and then gives to Adam, and he takes the fruit, and they understand and they realize that they are now out of relationship with God. And notice what happens. God comes, it's in verse 8, and the strangest sentence, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now that's an odd sentence, and here's why that's an odd sentence. Just listen to me this morning. That's an odd sentence. Have you ever wondered, when you read that sentence, have you ever wondered what does God sound like walking through the garden? Now, you ever thought about that? I mean, when you read, he heard the sound of God walking through the garden. Well, it makes me wonder, well, what did that sound like, right? I mean, God, understand, God is spirit. God is not flesh and blood. John teaches us, the book of John teaches us. In fact, Jesus himself said, the Lord is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when it says that they heard the sound of the Lord walking through the garden, what it did not mean is they did not hear his footsteps, right? I mean, it wasn't that God was crackling on the leaves as he was walking through the garden. It wasn't that his shoulders were brushing against the brush when he was walking through the garden. It wasn't as though God was walking through the brush and it was making a rustling sound. So what does the sound of God walking in the garden sound like? And there are a couple of phrases here, a couple of words, two words, that will help us get a grasp on what God is doing here and what he's speaking here. Now, the two words that are crucial here, the one word is the word sound. The word sound is an interesting word. The word sound in the original language actually means the word voice. Voice. In other words, watch this now. When God first appears to man, Adam and Eve are there. They are the first couple, the first human couple. And when God first appears to them, don't you realize how monumentally important this is? This is crucial. This is crucial. How God first appears to man speaks of how God wants to appear to you and I. Right? And when God first appears to man, the thing that mattered most was his voice. Watch this now. When God represents himself, when God enters into authentic relationship with you and I, the thing that matters is his voice. See, God didn't come in bodily form, not at that time. God didn't come in some visible form that they could see, but they recognized that it was God because what? Because they heard his voice in the garden. That's how they knew that it was him. And can I tell you, I'm going to jump ahead here just a moment and just say this because I'll repeat it several times. If there is one thing that is crucial to an authentic relationship with God, it is his voice. It is the way he first presented himself to the first man and woman, and it is the way that he wants to present himself to you and to I. What matters most in our authentic relationship with God is his voice. His voice speaking in our life. Nothing matters more than his voice to the Christian. Now, clearly, to the non-Christian, what matters is the covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I'm talking about mine and your relationship. It starts there at the blood, but from that point on, what matters is you and I to hear his voice. That's, God makes this hugely important. Think about what that means. Think about how important a thing this is. This defines what is important to God in his relationship with us. You understand that? What is important to God in his relationship with us is his voice. Now, here's the question. When I said to you I was going to talk to you about an authentic relationship, and that if you enter into authentic relationship with God and others, you'll begin to walk in abundance. May I ask you what was important to you in that? Because see, in many circles today, when we start talking about an authentic relationship with God and walking in abundance, we get all kind of ideas about what's important. We begin to think about prosperity. We begin to think about bank accounts. We begin to think about we begin to think about all kind of things. But what this tells us is he is saying what matters to me in an authentic relationship with you, the thing that distinguishes it, the thing that defines an authentic relationship is my voice in your life. That then raises the standard. That then changes everything. That turns the whole model, the whole paradigm upside down. Now what should matter to me, if that's what matters most to God, then what should matter most to me is his voice. Now watch this. It goes even a little bit further. The word Jameson Fawcett Brown, who is a very scholarly commentator, they say this, that the word sound or voice In the Hebrew, actually denotes the phrase, the word of God. Now watch this. Adam and Eve heard the word of God walking in the garden. They heard the word of God. They heard the pre-incarnate word of God. Jesus is the living word. He became the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Do you understand what's happening here? God defines himself by his voice and by his word speaking into our lives. And he says to them, this is what will matter. This will be more important than anything else. This will hold you when nothing else will hold you. This will last when nothing else will last. This will be consistent when all other voices are strange or odd. You can count on this. No matter what happens in life, come back to this. No matter how dark life gets, come back to this. No matter how strange life gets, come back to this. When you cannot find your way, or you don't know which way to go, come back to this. This is where you'll find me, my voice, my word. The word of God was actually walking in the forest. It was alive, and it was walking through the forest. And here's the thing, Granny Bog, here's the sad thing. They knew it. They knew it was his voice. What that means is, and the way the Bible reads, sometimes we get the idea that God created man, and the next day man fell, and the next day they're having this conversation. That's not the case at all. What is left out is we don't know how much time, but clearly there was enough time that Adam and Eve knew God's voice. They knew the word of God walking in the forest or in the garden. They knew, not because the leaves rustled or the wind blew, but they knew that it was his voice. That's the word of God. That's the very essence of who God is, that is moving through the forest. And listen, when God moves through the forest, they ran to him. Oh, they were eager to be with him. They were eager to be in his presence when they looked and when they saw, when they heard his voice, and they would run to his voice, and because it says they recognized, they knew the voice of God. They knew the movement of God moving through the forest and walking through the forest or walking through the garden. What this begins to understand, and you got to understand, when you understand that it's the word of the Lord, you have to understand this. The word of the Lord, the voice of God, set God apart from every other religion in the world. You see, there were many religions in the time of the biblical time, many religions, but the thing that set the Jehovah God separate and from all other gods was that God spoke with his voice. It was unique among all religions that God would speak with his voice, that he would come with his word and walk with man and be in authentic relationship with man by speaking into his life. And I've got to tell you something this morning. That is still true. It is unique in all of the land. Look up the Encyclopedia of World Religions and you will see that it's a book that is about that thick. But in the midst of it all, there is one religion. There is one relationship. There is one belief that's set apart from all others, and it is that Jehovah God came in the form of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and now the Word lives inside of us, and it is unique among all the land. God's voice in your life, the authentic relationship that he has with you, is different. It's different than the relationship of the Hindu. It's different than the relationship of the Buddhist. It's different than the relationship of the Indian religions. It's different because God's voice speaks. And it defines an authentic relationship with him. Now there's another phrase here. There's another word here. I told you there were two words that were important. There's another word here that's crucial. And it's the word walking. The word walking. Now, in our English language, that word denotes movement. In other words, if I say to you that I'm walking from here to the back of the church, what you envision, what you think is movement. You envision moving and walking. And certainly the Hebrew word here does have that idea. However, when the Hebrew word for walking is joined with the Hebrew word for voice, it doesn't denote motion, it denotes sound. In fact, the word actually means sounding or resounding. What it means is, the best word that I know that would depict it is the word echoing. That the word of God, the voice of God, was echoing, it was reverberating through the garden. When we say that they heard the sound of God walking through the forest, what in Hebrew, the Hebrew reader, when he read this, what he understood was that they heard the voice of God echoing through the land, reverberating through the garden, the voice of God, and they understood and they knew that that was God's voice. He was moving in that way. Again, he's a spirit, not human flesh, and so when it says he was walking, it was reverberating. His voice was reverberating. It was echoing through the garden. And what was it saying? What was it saying? Here's the point that I want us to see this morning. What was, when that voice of God was echoing and reverberating through the land, what was it saying? Do you remember? Look in verse 9. Then the Lord called to man. Then the Lord called to man. The word "called" there is an interesting word. When you begin to realize what the word there actually means, calling, as in calling out a name. That's why some of the translations, and some of yours may actually translate it that way. Some of the late translations say, "He cried out, Adam, where are you?" That's what the voice of God was saying through the garden. What God's voice was speaking and what it was saying was, "Adam, where are you?" In other words, when Adam was in the garden, he was there. What he began to hear, what he began to sense, what he began to realize is that God was calling. That's the word there, the word called. God was calling him. God was calling out to him. And Adam knew. Adam recognized that that was God's voice. He recognized that God was speaking. He recognized that this was God who he had walked with before, who he had heard and God had spoken into his life before. This was the same God that came and stood there as Adam named the animals. This was the same God that spoke to him about, "Adam, I'm going to give you a helpmate," and put him to sleep and then brought Eve from his side. This was the same God, and he knew that voice and he recognized that voice. And what should have been a joyous occasion was a sad one because of broken relationship. Broken relationship. See, when Adam should have been able to run to that voice, should have been able to run to that word, and should have been able to run to God, and that, instead, what did Adam do? Adam and Eve what? Hid. That's what it says. My message this morning is not on sin, but I got to tell you something. That is always the result of sin. Sin, the first thing we do when we sin is we hide. Isn't it? In fact, it's inherent to our nature. It's inherent to who we are. Three-year-old child, you take the cookie jar, right? And you take the cookie jar. The child is going in the cookie jar. No, you cannot have cookies. It's almost lunchtime. You take the cookie jar, and you put the cookie jar here. Do not eat the cookies. You go to answer the phone. The three-year-old does what? Cookie's worth anything. And get one out, and they hear you coming, and what do? Behind the back. What you got behind your back? I mean, nothing. Let me see what you got behind the back. Why do you have a cookie? I don't know. No, tell me, why do you have a cookie? I got it for you. What is that? That's us hiding from the voice of authority. It's us hiding from the voice that loves us, the voice that cares for us, the voice that is right for us and tells us what is right for us and instructs us because it knows better than what we know what is best. And it knows, despite that green beans don't taste like oatmeal cookies, they are better for you. It is what you need. And sometimes what we do in our own lives, this is just extra. This is not in my notes this morning. This is just extra. Sometimes what we want is we want the cookies. And no matter where God puts the cookies, we're going to go and, you know, pull up a chair and build whatever we had to get to the cookies. When God says, I told you I have something better for you. Why do we choose to listen to our own voice instead of the voice of God? What God wants is authentic relationship with us. And what matters most is His voice speaking in our lives and speaking into our hearts. How sad that Adam and Eve went and hid. There was, just by way of illustrating this message before I stop this morning, there was another occasion where God called someone's name. You remember? Go with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And here, just for clarity, I'm going to switch to the New American Standard because it better defines the words that are crucial to what we're speaking this morning. Now watch what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, what are we talking about this morning? Let's be clear. What we're talking about is God's voice, that voice echoing through the land, and that voice calling out to us. You understand? That's the element. That's what defines, that's what's important to God in our relationship to Him, is His voice, that it is echoing through the land and that it's calling out to us. Now watch what happens here. I'm going to walk you through this just for another moment or two, and then I'm going to draw this down to make a point with it this morning. Look in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. Now let me pause there just for a moment. Do you understand what's happened? You understand what's happened? They have refused to listen for so long that God's voice is rarely even heard anymore. Are you hearing me? See, nobody's listening. Nobody's listening to what God's saying. Even Eli, the priest, is not listening to what God's saying. The chapter before, God sends a man from a countryside to come to Eli and say, Eli, what are you doing? You know what your sons are doing. You've seen that they are bringing women into the temple. You're seeing that they're stealing from the sacrifices that the people are bringing. You see that, don't you, Eli? And God comes and He speaks to Eli, and Eli doesn't listen. In fact, that's another message for another time. Eli feared his sons more than he feared God. Now, that's the sermon, and that's the problem in America today, my friend. His parents who feared their children more than they feared God. And so he wasn't listening. So much so that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no prophetic word. There were very few prophets. Very few dreams and visions that were coming. The word of the Lord was quiet because nobody was listening. And listen to me, I want to say sometime, is God, is that where we're living today? Are we on the edge of that ourselves today, Lord? Oh God, don't let America get to a place where your voice is rare. Lord, ring out to us. Cry out to us. Shout out to us. Send the prophets again, oh Lord. We need your voice, oh God. We need your voice. We need your voice to speak into our lives. Now watch what happens here. And it happened that at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. And I want to pause there a second. Now there is some controversy about what that exactly means. It does not mean that Samuel was lying down in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. We know that because that the only one that went in there was the high priest. And so I know that it sounds like that's what it's saying, but it simply cannot because it violates the rest of Scripture. And you let Scripture interpret Scripture. You don't just decide that you think you know what it says. And so we don't know exactly what that means, where Samuel was lying, but we do know this. Watch this. We do know this. Samuel positioned himself close to the presence of God. Are you with me? Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Samuel, Eli was laying in his regular place. Listen to me this morning. Eli was lying where he normally lies. Eli was, well, what? He was where he was comfortable. Eli was where he was comfortable. He was where he was, what he was used to. He was doing that which was normal. He had become so accustomed to not hearing God's voice that he was comfortable in not hearing God's voice. But Samuel positioned himself close to the presence of God, because if God speaks, I want to hear his voice. I want to hear him speak. And while Samuel, listen to me now, you talk about a paradigm here. You talk about a model here. Samuel was comfortable not hearing God's voice, and so he could not and did not hear God's voice. Eli was. Samuel, on the other side, had never really heard God's voice, but there was something hungry inside. There was something burning inside. There was something that said, I don't want to be normal or average or typical or comfortable in my relationship with God. I must have his voice. So he positioned himself close to the presence of God so that when God spoke, he could hear. You know the story. Once God calls out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel jumps up and he runs into Eli. And Eli says, son, it wasn't me. I didn't call you. It wasn't me. The second time Samuel goes and he lays down and God calls to him, Samuel, in fact, that word called, by the way, is the exact same Hebrew word as in Genesis. It's the exact same word. The exact same Hebrew word. God called to Adam. God called to Samuel. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel jumps up and he runs into Eli a second time. And Eli says, son, I'm an old man and I don't get to sleep much. Please stop disturbing me. It wasn't me. Go lay down. Samuel goes back and lays down. And a third time, God calls and says, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel jumps up and he runs back in. And when he runs back in, now watch what happens here. When he runs back in, it is fascinating. It is fascinating. Because Eli recognizes something that had been foreign to him for so long. He recognizes that must be God's voice speaking. Now I want to point out something here to you. I want to point out something here to you that is absolutely crucial to what we're talking about this morning. Eli did not hear God's voice, but he knew that Samuel must have been. And so he said to Samuel, go lay back down, and if he calls again, you say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Now here's the thing, and I want to pause here just a moment. It's important. Why didn't Eli get up and move closer to the presence of God? You understand what I'm saying this morning? If Eli knew that God was speaking, if Eli knew God was about to give a word, it had been so long since Eli had heard from God. In fact, the last word that Eli had from God was from another prophet speaking over his kingdom. Shouldn't something have gone off inside of Eli? Shouldn't Eli have said, son, God's trying to speak. Help me get up. Son, help me find my robe. Help me find my slippers. Help me, son, because we got to get into the presence of God. Shouldn't something have awakened inside of Eli? Eli used to hear God's voice. He used to know what God's voice sounded like. He used to yearn for it. But instead, he just laid there. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm going to tell you something this morning. There are many Christians that's where they live. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not the judge of that. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I am saying that it's been a long time since you've heard God's voice. It's been a long time since you've desired to be in his presence. It's been a long time since you've allowed him to speak to you. So much so that you hear that God is speaking in somebody else's life and it doesn't even stir inside of you anymore. You're satisfied with them hearing from God. What about you hearing from God? What about getting up and going back to the presence of God again? You hearing what God's speaking and what God's saying. Eli says, son, you go back. If God speaks again, you say, you know, I'm listening, Lord. Samuel goes back and he lays down. And the voice of God comes, Samuel, Samuel. And Eli, and Samuel says, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I got to hand one thing to Eli. He taught Samuel the most important lesson that you could possibly teach a young man or young woman of God. And that is, when God speaks, be careful to listen. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to listen to the voice of God, to listen to what God is saying. See, Samuel had moved he was near the presence of God. He was eager to hear. And when God called, Samuel listened. What does this have to do with you and I this morning, an authentic relationship? What does it have to do with us? Here it is. Here it is this morning. God's voice is crucial to an authentic relationship to Him. It is unique in the land, and we must be careful to listen. There it is. God wants an authentic relationship with you. He wants a real relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you that resembles the relationship, the image of God that He put in you, that you need an authentic relationship. And He wants to show Himself. He wants to present Himself to you by His voice, by His word in your life. You know what? God wants. You talk about walking in the Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is walking where you hear the voice of the Lord. Wherever the Word of God is walking through the land, wherever it is walking through the garden, that's walking in the Spirit, my friend. When you walk in that authentic relationship with Him, where His voice is of paramount importance in your life. So three things this morning. Three things that are absolutely crucial. One is this. Cultivate within you a hunger for the voice of God again. Pastor, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is, listen, stop being satisfied with laying where you've always laid. Cultivate within you. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like to hear God's voice? Do you remember when He spoke into your life? Do you remember a time? Do you remember an occasion when He spoke to you, when he called you? Do you remember a time? Do you remember an occasion? My friend, stir that fire up again inside of you. Shake off those covers. Shake off those covers. Get up out of that bed of complacency. Stop doing what's comfortable. Cultivate within your heart a desire to hear God's voice again. The second thing is this. When that hunger begins to build again, can I tell you something, church? Move closer to the presence of God. Get where His voice is speaking. Can I get personal? It's rare that you're going to hear God's voice on ESPN. Okay? It's rare that you're going to hear God's voice on MTV. It's rare you're going to hear God's voice on Fox News. It's rare that you're going to hear God's voice on the latest sitcom. Or listening to the latest junk that's pumped out over the radio. It's rare you're going to hear God's voice there. I'm not saying that those things may not in some way be useful. And I'm not even sure about that, but I know this. They better not replace God's voice in my life. They better not replace God's voice in my life. If I spend 3 hours at night watching news show after news show, sitcom after sitcom, ball game after ball game, and I haven't heard God's voice today, then I need to move closer to where God's voice is. I need to be closer to His voice. Let me tell you where you can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice in these pages of this book. This isn't just a book that was written, a historical, poetic piece of literature, although it is historical and it is poetic and it is literature. This book represents God's voice in our life. You want to move closer to God's voice, turn off the tube and open the Word. Open the Word. Tell you where else you're going to hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice in prayer if you'll be quiet enough. I'm not going to re-preach the message that I preached 3 weeks ago, but listen to me. You'll hear God's voice in prayer if you'll be quiet enough, long enough, if you'll stay there. And Pastor, I just don't have much time. Well, don't be Eli. Get up out of the bed and move closer to His presence where His voice is. Where His voice is. Let me tell you one other place you're going to hear God's voice. And I say this unashamedly and taking on anything personally. I understand that this statement I'm making is with humility, but I also understand this. Listen, you're going to hear God's voice from this pulpit. You're going to hear God's voice. I'm not going to preach to you this morning something that I don't feel God has said. You're going to hear God's voice. And you need to be in a place where you can hear God's voice from the pulpit. Now, you might have a little bit of difficulty with that, but listen, if you're not hearing God's voices while we're preaching on Sunday mornings, then I don't know what we're doing, right? I don't know what we're doing. If the voice of God is not being preached from the pulpit, then I don't know what you're doing sitting there listening. There's a lot that's being preached today that's not God's voice. I'm saying to you as pastor of the Rock Church that when you're going to hear God's voice from this pulpit, you're going to hear God's voice from this pulpit. That's why, and I said it to many of you individually, I've looked you in the face and I've said to you, when you're not here, you miss something vital for your life. Why do I say that? Because I believe God speaks to us on Sunday mornings. So get close to the presence of God. Get near where He was speaking. And the last thing is this. The advice that Eli gave Samuel, listen, stir up again that desire for His voice. Get close to where His presence is and listen. Now this morning, as I have preached through, a few moments ago, in the middle of the message, I said something that I think resonated in some hearts. Before I dismiss you this morning, I got to revisit that real quick. I think perhaps there's some here this morning who's been a long time since you've heard the voice of God. You've allowed a lot of other things. Some of you have allowed business of life. Some of you have allowed circumstances that have come along. Some of you may even have allowed hurts. Maybe something wrong in your relationship with somebody else, or some offense that you've taken. It's been a long time since you've heard God's voice. When I said that a moment ago, something leaped inside of you. I'm going to tell you that's the Holy Spirit resonating in your heart, in your life, that He wants to speak to you again. He wants to speak to you again. So this morning, I feel like I need to do this. I need to give you a chance to say publicly, Pastor, I haven't been hearing His voice in a long time, and I want to hear His voice again. If that's the case, I want to pray a prayer over you before we dismiss the congregation. So if you're here this morning, listen, this is out loud. This is out loud. There's no eyes closed, head bowed. What you're saying is, Lord, it's been a long time since I've heard his voice. I've let a lot of other stuff get in the way. And I want to hear his voice again. If that's you, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come stand here. I want to pray a prayer over you this morning before we dismiss. Listen to me. I know that's a bold thing. I just sense this morning. Listen, God's voice is important enough. If you're here this morning and you know you haven't been hearing God's voice in a while, I want to encourage you to just stand up right now and come down. Some of you got some things that you're going through that you need to hear God's voice. Some of you got some things some decisions that you need to make, and you need to hear God's voice. Others of you have some relationship issues that you're dealing with, and you need to hear God's voice. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to invite you real quickly. Just get up. The person that's beside you, they'll move out of the way. They'll move out of the way. Listen, this isn't me. This is you. This is between you and God this morning. It's between you and Him. Yes, there's some others. Come on, there's some others. I haven't heard God's voice in a while. Come on. Come on, there's some others. There you go. There you go. Come on now. Get up. Get up. Come on. Come on. There's some others of you. Come on. I need some of my intercessors to come and stand behind these right now. Come on. Come on. You need to hear God's voice. God's saying something. He's speaking some things in your life. He's speaking some things in your life. Come on, just stand to the front so that I know who I'm praying for. Our intercessors, you stand behind them this morning. Come on, there's some more. There's some more. There's some more. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on. We're going to pause just another moment or two. Yes, God's doing something. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have a sense this morning that there's a couple that is here. You've been trying to make some decisions. I just have a sense that it involves your children. And the Lord just wants you to know this morning that He wants to speak to you about that. He wants to speak into your heart and your life. He wants to give you wisdom and wants to help you make that next step. If that's you this morning, I just invite you. I encourage you to come this morning. If you're here this morning, if that speaks to you, if that speaks to you. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer over those that have come down this morning. Then I'm going to ask one of the intercessors to move around in front of you and pray for you this morning, specifically and individually. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the boldness of these that will come and say, I really need to hear God's voice in a way that I haven't heard it in a long time. I need God to speak into my life. And they're bold enough to say that I haven't been hearing God, but I'm going to. What's going on in my life is too important. Listen to me this morning. Live for His voice. Live for His voice. Oh, I know there's going to be other stuff in life, and that's fine. But live for His voice. And He will not fail to call to you. Oh, what a great promise that is. What a great promise that is. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. And may I feel in my heart to encourage you. Don't miss any of this series. Don't miss any of this series about authentic relationships, because what we've learned this morning flows into our other relationships. I think it'll be meaningful and life-changing for you. God bless you. I love you. Go in the blessings of the Lord.